opened and sent him help.
Praise the Lord. You know, my voice is not good yet.
So good.
And I would have liked to rest. We have already received blessings. I believe all people who come to be blessed, they don't have to wait until the end of the meeting. They receive it from the very beginning. We are already blessed when we sit down and when we pray, when we sing, when we hear God's word. It is one blessing after another, and we can heartily rejoice in every word that is read. We follow it up, and we rejoice when a song is sung, and we delve into the thoughts of the song. When someone says something, we become absorbed in it. The blessing is in the going along of our hearts with what is happening. If someone comes to a service and he has his own program, then the blessing of God will pass him by. But whoever is in the program of God will receive much blessing, blessing in abundance. And as soon as the service starts, no matter who comes to the front, no matter who sings, who plays, who reads, who prays, he who goes along will be blessed. And whoever does not go along will not be blessed. So it's up to everybody. And it can sometimes be that one person is blessed beyond measure and the other is surprised. And why? Only because one does not go along from the heart. So go along. That is what we must do and what we may do. You know very well, if somebody is at a football match and he is not interested in the game, what does he sit there in the first place? If you are somewhere, you have to go along. That's why you go there. If somebody wants to watch a box fight, he is in the spirit of the thing. He is happy about every blow that hits, no matter who gets it. He is happy about it. And that's how it is in a service. No matter what happens, we rejoice with everyone who rejoices. And we pray with everyone who prays. And we sing with everyone who sings. And then everything is wonderful and glorious. And there is great blessing in our hearts. The word that was read actually fits very well with what we already looked at last night about our names being written in the book of life. I may briefly refer to this text again and perhaps read from the book of Revelation. It was here in Luke 10 probably. There the Lord said, and it says here, yes, the text was so wonderful, but I don't want to repeat it completely. We have heard it, perhaps just from verse 19. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. I believe this word here is a very, very powerful word. When the Lord says, I have given you power over all the power of the enemy, and he will not be able to harm you. People have suffered harm very often because they are afraid of the enemy. And we know very well, sometimes even with animals, if you are afraid of them, they are not afraid of us. But when we know what we want, then they are afraid of us. Then they are all afraid of us. And so it is here. When the Lord says, I have given you power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. That is a wonderful word. Why should we be afraid? No fear is justified here, but complete trust in the Lord, who said, I have given you power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Do you believe that this word applies to all of us today? Amen. Yes, most certainly. Not everyone has said amen. I wonder why not. Because it is God's word. And we can't just pick out what we might see as right at the moment. But every word of the Lord is the pure truth. And we have already emphasized here last night that we may say yes to it. So, when it is written here, I have given you power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Then that is as true as any other promise in the Holy Scripture. It may go over heights and over lows. It may go under and over, through darkness and through light. It does not matter. God's word remains. He has given power to His people. First, power to become children of God, namely to those who believe in His name. And the moment we have been given power to become children of God, we have power over all the power of the enemy, and the adversary will not be able to harm us. As long as we walk in the ways of God and trust the Lord completely. Further on it is written, notwithstanding in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. This is something wonderful. Our joy is great because of what God has done. But the reason, the main reason for our joy is our salvation through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The main reason for our joy is that our names are written in heaven. And we know they were written before the foundation of the world. If you wanted to put it in an appropriate term for this time, you could say, God recorded a tape before the foundation of the world, and the tape plays, the tape runs. Nobody can add anything to it. Nobody can take from it. That which God decided before the foundation of the world, it is playing, even in our time. No one can change it. And no one can say, wait, stop. I want to say something about it now. God alone has spoken this. And His word alone is valid in time and in eternity. But by the way, we are thankful to God from the bottom of our hearts that in this time we can use the technical things for His benefit and for His glory. But can you imagine if we now review a tape and then everybody sits and listens to what is going on. That's how God set things up before the foundation of the world. And it's all going according to God's plan. And when the time comes for something, for a promise to be fulfilled, then it will be heard on this great tape of God. And all who are of the truth hear the voice of God. They heard it at the time of Moses, at the time of Abraham, at the time of Elijah and of Enoch, at the time of the first Christians, and even today. All who are born of God, they hear God's holy word. And all whose names are written in the book of life, they are born of God, begotten by the Holy Spirit, and they receive God's word in their hearts. It is written in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, just as Moses lifted up a serpent, so will the Son of Man be lifted up. And we know the people of Israel were bitten by serpents because of their disobedience, because of their sin. But the serpent of brass could no longer bite anyone. It no longer crawled around. It no longer had venom. It was a dead and lifeless object. And all the people who looked there, they saw exactly, this serpent can't harm us anymore. It's a dead object. They knew through Jesus Christ, the serpent or the serpent's head will be crushed, and the poison of the serpent will not be able to do anything. And therefore Jesus said here, I give you power over all the power of the enemy, over all the army of the adversary, and he will not be able to harm you. The Bible says right away in Genesis, in chapter 3, it speaks of the seed of the woman and then also of the serpent. He shall bruise your heel, but you shall bruise his head. Jesus Christ, he swallowed up the sting of death through life. And because we are in Christ, the sting of death can no longer harm us, but we have received life from God. Jesus Christ has been exalted, and as surely as he has been exalted, so surely do we have victory over all the power of darkness. So surely we are a possession of God. So surely he has given us power over all the power of the enemy. It is not we who contend with the enemy. He dealt with him for us. Just as David and Goliath did, it was one who stood out from the crowd and defeated the enemy. This is how Jesus Christ, the Son of David, confronted the enemy here on this earth. The confrontation took place for the sake of those who are here on earth. And God has placed us here, and God has given us victory here on earth by grace. And nothing will be able to harm us. Why? Because God is for us, therefore no one can be against us. And even if all hell rages, let it rage, it will not be able to do anything, because the Lord is on our side. I rejoice in the word that is written in Job, when the sons of God were gathered before the Lord, the enemy also came, and the Lord said, where art thou from? And he said, I've roamed the earth, and have looked after the children of men. And the Lord asks, hast thou also seen my servant Job? For like him there is no man on earth. And the enemy said, yes, I have seen him, but he is fenced in, and I cannot approach him. The Lord is a fiery wall around his own. And if we put our trust in God, then the roaring lion can walk around us, no problem. We listen to what the lion of the tribe of Judah has said, namely, I have overcome and have the keys of death and hell. So the Lord has the absolute word in heaven and on earth, and also under the earth. He is in charge everywhere, and the enemy can basically do nothing. He has his nature in the children of unbelief and disobedience, just as God has his nature in the children of faith and obedience. Each has his own. God has his own. He rules over them. He talks to them. He reveals himself to them. So the enemy also has his own, and he rules them. He dictates to them, and they must do what he tells them. But we are in the hand of the Lord. And as we have already heard, no one can pluck us out from his hand. And already the prophet says in the Old Testament, in his palms we have been marked. As surely as Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was nailed to the cross, so surely are we in him, and no one will be able to pluck us out from his mighty hand. So, this word here, rather rejoice that your names are written in heaven. That is our joy. And let me say this, the Lord Jesus spoke to such people whose names are written in heaven, that the host of the adversary cannot harm them. Now, if we were to read this word backwards, then we could read, rejoice that your names are written in heaven, for over you the enemy has no power. That is the conclusion of this precious and holy word of God. But where there is doubt, the enemy will find a starting point. And there he will begin to nibble and to torment. Therefore it is written, if you could believe, you would see the glory of God. So it's all up to our faith. And faith is not a despondent thing. Faith is the victory that has overcome the world. So it is written. Many people say they believe and they are despondent. That is not faith. Faith is the victory that has overcome the world. We must learn to distinguish this very clearly and say it to each other. I don't mean now that someone is coming to the front here to say something, but we say God's word and also stand under it. It is not only said to those who sit down to hear it, but at the same time, we have our ears open to receive God's word and to believe what is written. So, whoever wants to come into possession of the divine promises must believe them. Only then can they be revealed in his life. So, if it is written here, that maybe we read verse 20 again, notwithstanding, in this rejoice not. In other words, this is a matter of course, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. And then the Lord spoke this precious word. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. So it was hidden from the wise and prudent, but to those whose names are written in heaven, it was revealed. Then and now. And this brings us back to the word from Revelation 13. And I would like to read the previous verses. Revelation 13, here we read from verse 5. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. Especially now, this verse, we know it speaks here of the beast that comes out of the sea with 7 heads and 10 horns, and it is given a time of 42 months. And it says, it opened its mouth to blaspheme God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, namely those who have their dwelling place in heaven. Well, now we have arrived at the parallel. First, the names of the true children of God are written in the book of life. As we have read, rejoice that your names are written in heaven. And here it is now said that the dwelling place is in heaven. Jesus Christ said in the Gospel of John, probably chapter 14, I go to prepare a place for you, and then I come again to take you to myself. For where the Lord is, there shall his servant be also. So, this preparation of the tabernacle in heaven is for all those whose names are written in heaven. But the beast that cometh to power blasphemeth the Lord and his tabernacle, and all those who have their dwelling place in heaven. Brother Rus has already said it. Here on earth, we have no abiding place. It is a transitional time, a preparation time for eternity. Here we come together to hear God's word, to be blessed, to be introduced into God's plan of salvation. But we confess with Abraham that we are looking for the city to come, whose builder is God. And this city is not on earth. It is the New Jerusalem. And we know full well that the Lord has prepared mansions for all his own. But the beast opens his mouth to blaspheme God and all those whose dwelling place is in heaven. So, we can be prepared. Whoever is inspired by the same demonic spirit, he will blaspheme God. He will blaspheme everything divine. And he will also blaspheme those whose names are written in heaven and whose dwelling place is in heaven. So, we wait on earth for no recognition, but wait to somehow be blasphemed because of the Lord. Why? Because other people don't even understand what it's all about. And then I recently read an article somewhere. I'm sure you also read it. Someone was asked what he thought about the sects. And then the scholar said, they all have the conceit of being something special. Well, that may be so. But such conceit is no accident. And I would like to go one step further. I don't want to call it conceit, but I want to say that the true children of God have the right and the claim to be something special, because thus it is written in the Word of God, and we read it last night. You are a chosen generation, the royal priesthood. You are to proclaim the virtues of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Of course, if someone were to judge from his own point of view and he comes here to this place, he might almost despair and say, these people live by the most pious conceit that exists on earth. If he does not understand what it is all about, but the moment God's word is revealed to us, then we know it's not a conceit, but a divine, incontrovertible fact that he chose us before the foundation of the world, and he will have a church without spot or wrinkle, and she will stand before the face of his glory, unreprovable, unblameable, washed in the blood of the Lamb and made white, and she will have the right to stand before him by grace. So, we do not have the pious conceit of being something special, but we have recognized that God has put a special purpose into our lives. And this purpose is an eternal purpose to which God has destined us according to the good pleasure of His will. Not we have willed it, but God has ordained it so, and therefore we rejoice in it. Yes, even the prayers, as we said last night, may cause one and another to give their judgment. In this place, each one should let the divine judgment come upon him first. And he who receives the divine judgment will have no more time to judge others, but will then come to join in the praise of the children of God. For he who is saved, the Lord once spoke and said, if a woman has lost a penny and she finds it again, will she not invite all her neighbors and share her joy with them? Here is no penny found, but here are people found again who were lost in sins and transgressions, and God's hand has found them and brought them out. And all the people should be invited and say, rejoice with us, for these were lost and have been found again by the grace of our God. And there is joy. Who would today, if someone loses a penny and you would invite the people, they would say, man, I will give you another penny. Leave me alone. But what was it? The Lord took simple examples, and the clever ones, they wrinkled their noses again and thought, what is a penny? If you have it, not much. And if you need it, it can mean much. The Lord only wanted to show an example of the joy of being found again. And so, there is great joy in heaven over every sinner who has repented, who has come back to God, who has entered into His inheritance, who has come to know God, and who is thus allowed to be something special. Of course, the scholars will disagree with that, because everyone thinks they are special too. But God's people are a chosen people, a glorious people, who will be with God for eternity. And that is so much grace that no human being can find words to express it. Think about it. Some go down and some go up. Why has God drawn us to Himself? Why did He speak to us through His Word? Why did He find us and brought us to Himself? It was all His grace. And we confess we were lost, but He sought us and found us. And the joy is very great. And this joy we want to express, and we want everyone to rejoice with us. You know what, brothers and sisters? What we are really missing is the joy in the Lord, the joy in our salvation, the joy of salvation, the joy in God. However great and important all knowledge and instruction may be, but the joy in God is the joy in our salvation. As a German song goes, I glory in my redemption, redeemed by His holy blood. This is our joy and our confidence. Now here it is written, the beast opens his mouth to blaspheme God, but God will put an end to all blasphemy. All blasphemers can prepare for that already today. God will put an end to all blasphemy. Everything will come to an end, but he who has eternal life will live forever. We have said it many times. No one can live forever unless he has eternal life. And eternal life is in Jesus Christ alone, the Son of God. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And therefore, he who has the Son of God has eternal life. And he who does not have the Son of God does not have eternal life. And therefore, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was preached so that people come to believe, that they might be made partakers of eternal life by the grace of our God. Here, God is blasphemed, and also all those whose dwelling is in heaven. Well, may this blasphemy come, no problem, if only we may escape this earth forever, if only we may be with the Lord forever. What does it matter what people say? What does it matter what they think of us, if we find grace in the sight of God? And this we can freely say, that our Lord has looked upon us graciously and has been with us and has spoken to us. The others cannot rejoice in this. They do not understand. They do not know what it is all about. But through the preaching of the Word of God, the Lord has revealed his will to his people in this time. And for that, we are grateful to our God with all our heart. Then, when it is written in the following verse, or in verse 8, which we had already read, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, the beast, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So, those whose names are not written in the Lamb's book of life, they will accept the Antichrist. Yes, they will think a special honor has been bestowed upon them to be allowed to honor him. And he sitteth on high above all and receiveth all the homage that shall be paid him. But on the other hand, it is written in John 4, probably verse 24, God is looking for worshippers who do not worship on the holy mount or in Jerusalem, but in spirit and in truth. Just as those who belong to the Antichrist pay homage to him and respond to what he says to them, so the true Christians pay homage to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and they worship him and they glorify his holy name. here the spirits separate, and we know not everything what is called worship is a service, but only where God can serve us through His Word, through His Spirit, only there is a true service, a true worship. Only where God can reveal and glorify Himself, where God comes to His right, where God is not only spoken of, but where God can be present to accomplish His work, to speak, to bless, to help, and to be with those who have taken His side. Our God is a faithful God, and He has prepared the place for us. Think of it, how glorious! He has written our names in the book. He has prepared the mansions. He came down and became man and paid the price on the cross of Calvary. He was despised. He was mocked. He was esteemed as nothing. But it all happened for our sake, so that the curse might be taken away from us and we might receive the blessing of Almighty God. Dear brothers and sisters, dear friends, we cannot but offer worship to our God. And we know, based on the Holy Scriptures, up there, there will be great shouting and rejoicing. There will be hallelujahs resounding like the sound of great waters. And who will stop it from beginning here? Didn't Jesus Himself say, "The water that I will give you will become a spring in you that bubbles forth into eternal life"? So, this fountain is already breaking forth here in us, and we may say, it has broken open. And let no one be angry with us when we rejoice in the Lord. On the contrary, we ask you, on the basis of the word of the Lord, rejoice with a joyful, and you too will become joyful. But if at the moment when others rejoice, if you then shut yourself up, then it becomes even sadder inside. But when one begins to rejoice, then we are done. Then the same joy of God that someone else now has and expresses, this joy then also fills our hearts. But you have to have the will for it. You have to be able to decide for it. Like you decide on the one hand to then remain silent, so you can choose to pray with. And I would choose the second, because I can always be silent. But here we want to decide to pray along. And when we pray along, then we are blessed along. And that is the secret of God among His people. We have to become one heart and one soul in this respect too. And believe me one thing, there can no longer be a loner here. But we all walk as the Spirit works and blows. That is how we all walk along. No matter who prays, we pray with them. And then it will happen that the unity of the Holy Spirit can be manifested among us. That is what it is all about. Not that we divide ourselves and the one does this and the other that, but that we all can concentrate ourselves before God and are no longer loners, but merge into the mass of God's children. And wherever the Lord lights a spark, let us begin to rejoice. And already the spark has lit us, and the other rejoices. And then everyone is lit by the fire of God. And there will be a praising and rejoicing, a worship, a rejoicing and a shouting about what God has accomplished for us. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Let us rejoice in that and give glory to the Lord. Amen.